want the car. We'll sacrifice the family for it. We want the house. Never mind that it won't be a home. We want the bank account. Never mind it can't buy things that money can't buy. It's just the stuff.
Dr. Tony Evans says we've lost sight of what God says is valuable.
God says that's a possession, and you are to possess nothing.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Americans seem to suffer from a disease called possession obsession. Today, Dr. Evans explains how to loosen your grip on the stuff that can easily take over your life. It's part of his current 2-volume series on stewardship. And later, I'll come back with details on how you can get Volume 2 on CD as our gift. Right now, though, here's Dr. Evans.
What has God entrusted into your care? 3 things, only 3. I call them today the spheres of stewardship. The 3 things that all of us have in varying proportions that God has made available to us to look after for Him. Number 1, you are a steward of time. We don't have the same amount of it. Yes, everyone has 24 hours. Well, we can go back before that. Everyone has 60 seconds to the minute, 60 minutes to the hour, 24 hours to the day, 365 days to the year, 10 years to the decade, 10 decades to the century. And if you get by that, you are most fortunate. But you are a steward of time. God has no such limitation. The meaning of time is, in a sense, meaningless. For there is no time when God has not been. There will be no time when God is not. Therefore, time is meaningful to you. He is the eternal one. Look at with me Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul has a word for us about this thing called time. Verse 15 says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He says, watch out for time. The Bible talks about time being shortened, 1 Corinthians 7:29. You hardly ever read about time being lengthened. Always, virtually, it's always getting shorter. And doesn't it seem that way? The longer you live, the shorter time gets. It's why I like what David says, for example, in Psalm 39. David says in verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as hand breaths. That's the 4 fingers in front of you, not counting your thumb. Spread them out as far as you can. And he says, that's the length of my days. It's as hand breaths. And my lifetime is nothing in thy sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Now think of when you were at your best. When you're at your best, if you want to see how long your life is, when you get home today, go to your bathroom mirror. Take a deep breath and blow onto it. And it will fill a portion of the mirror with your breath, but you will see it decrease on the edges and wind its way in until it's gone. What do I mean by time? Because if you define time wrong, you relate to it wrong. Most people simply define time in terms of its linear course. That is, point A to point B, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, 12 years old to 50 years old, that's time. But that's not the full definition of time. Time is more than linear length. When the Bible speaks of time, it speaks of time as the boundary of opportunity. time, in God's viewpoint, is the boundary of opportunity. When God wants you to, what he says in verse 16, King James says, redeem the time. New American Standard says, make the most of your time. He's talking about the use of time. And when we refer to the use of time, we're talking about maximizing opportunity, not wasting opportunity. Because every time the opportunity is wasted, time is lost because opportunity was lost. What he says in verse 16 is that time must be maximized, not trivialized. Redeem the time, take advantage of it. It's like a captain of a boat taking advantage of the wind to get to his destination, to arrive at the port, accessing the right waves so that he gets the bank. It's like a surfer who sees the waves coming and he gets up on his board and he balances himself to get the best ride possible. That's what he means. Max out your time, for it is all the time you're ever going to get on this side. Redeem it, use it, don't lose it, because when you lose opportunity, you've made a mess of time. And God has given you and I time. Now, he's given some of us 80 years of time, others of us maybe 95 years of time, some 50 years of time, others 30 years of time, and you do not know when time will end. So since you don't know what time will end, make the most of today. Well, how do you know if you're making the most of today? How do you know if you're being a good steward of time? Verse 17 says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's how you know. What he says is, if you're going to be a good steward of time, if you're going to make the most of time, then that means that you better be using your time to do what God wants. That's how you become a steward of time. Opportunity is maximized when it is used to accomplish the will of God. So many of us are so busy not doing the will of God that we've been beaten up by time. Time is messing over us. We're getting older, we see more gray, and we wonder, what have I done with my life? That's a statement of opportunity. Others of us sit around moping, oh, I wish things could be different. And then tomorrow we say the same thing. I wish things could be different, never becoming a steward of time. Some are lazy with their time, and so they don't accomplish anything and are mad if you do. The Bible says if you want to maximize time, you must pursue opportunity. But the opportunities that you pursue must be in concert with the will of God. Now, what does that mean? It means you're going to have to spend time trying to find God's will. That's what it means. Now, good news is God is not playing Easter egg hunt with his will. You know, you remember when we were kids, we had to go find the Easter eggs and they would be put all over the place and we'd have to go hunt and search. And then you finally found one and some bigger kid came and took it for you, got it, or after you got it, snatched it out of your hand. God's will is not an Easter egg hunt. Number one, you start with God's revealed will, which is always his word. And you say, now, what has God said about this subject? Because listen, if you don't start with the revealed will, then he will not lead you in that which is not specifically revealed. A lot of people say, Lord, lead me in the unknown, when they haven't discovered the known. God will not do that. He will not skip his revealed will just to give you a tingly leading feeling inside. He will always work in concert and through his revealed will. So to lose time is to lose opportunity, which is to miss the will of God. Noah built the boat. He used 120 years to build the boat. The rest of the world laughed at him. When Noah went in and God closed the door, time was over. You know what that meant? No opportunity to get in. Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and time was gone. And the only thing he could look forward to was a hangman's noose. I call this Portrait of a Fool. Story Jesus told. Talking about a man who had built up his life saving, had a good retirement, mutual funds were doing real good. He says in verse 18, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns, I'm going to build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, watch it when you start talking to yourself. I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Pate, hate. Verse 20, but God said, you fool. This very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Don't leave God out of your time. Because if you leave God out of your time, when you think you've gotten around to enjoying your time, you may not have any more time left to enjoy. The beautiful thing about including God in your time and being a righteous steward of time is that God will give you his joy in time. If you leave God out, you may accumulate things in time, but you won't have God in the accumulation, so that by the time you get around to enjoying the things you accumulate, you won't have the ability to enjoy it, the mind to enjoy it, the health to enjoy it, because we have lost opportunities in time. You know, Paul says, I like what Paul says. I'll read it to you in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He says, "But I do not consider my life as any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." He says that he had a calling and a course that he was supposed to finish. He then says in 2 Timothy 4, he says, "I have finished my course." That's what you want to be able to say. You want to be able to be on your deathbed and say, "I'm ready to go because I'm finished," not "I left unfinished business." That is not what you want to say. I have never seen a businessman on his deathbed wishing he had spent more time at the office. Maybe you know somebody like that, but I've never known anybody who died who said, "I just wish that I had one more year to work at the office." Now, I've seen a bunch of them say, "I wish I'd have spent more time with my wife. I wish I would have loved my kids." But I don't hear too many talking about cutting a new deal when they're on their deathbed. Why? Because what they're talking about are missed opportunities to do the will of God. So if you're going to be a steward of time, it means you're going to commit yourself to doing the will of God. Dreams will not become realities unless you take advantage of opportunities, and opportunities are best taken advantage of that are seeking to do what God wants done, not only what you want done.
Well, when Dr. Evans comes back in just a moment, he'll explain why so many of us fail that test and how we can make up some of the lessons we missed along the way. First, though, what you're hearing today is part of Tony's popular series, Principles of Christian Stewardship. As we're discovering, stewardship starts with the understanding that everything we have comes from God, and that our job is to manage it wisely. This two-volume, 16-message series teaches you how to do that. Along the way, you'll discover new kinds of freedom, confidence, purpose, and power, no matter what the economy is doing. Best of all, for a limited time, we're offering Volume 2 of this series on CD as our gift to anyone who can come alongside our ministry with a contribution of any size. We depend completely on your support to keep this program on the air, and this is one way we can show our appreciation for your faithfulness. In fact, if you contact us right away, we'll also include a special bonus gift, 30 Days to Financial Victory. It contains a full month of daily devotionals, including scripture passages on stewardship, in-depth commentary from Dr. Evans, and practical money management tips you can put to work right away. It's yours with our thanks when you request Volume 2 of Principles of Christian Stewardship and help underwrite our ministry with your contribution of any amount. Get all the details and make your request online at tonyevans.org or give us a phone call at 1-800-800-3222 before this special offer runs out. I'll repeat that information for you later on in the program. Right now, though, here's Dr. Evans with more of our message.
When God created the heavens and the earth, he spent 6 days creating, doing his God thing. Let there be. Boom. And God said, "Hey, you bad boy. Gugga-mugga, you so bad." Second day, "Let there be," bang. Woo-hoo, good gugga-mugga, you all right. On through the 6th day, man is created. And then he said, "And all that God did was good. Very, very good." And then it says, on the 7th day, God rested. Now, he couldn't have been sleepy because he didn't work that hard. He said, "Let there be," and it was. That's not hard work. That's not hard work at all. God, why are you tired? Sabbath wasn't given because God was tired. Guess why the Sabbath was given? the Sabbath, when the Bible says God rested, it meant he sat back to enjoy himself. He looked at it, he said, now, you know, I've been spending 6 days creating this stuff. I just want to sit back here and revel in my glory. Anybody this good ought to just be meditated on. Let me just meditate on myself. The Sabbath was God's enjoyment of himself. Fundamentally, that's what it was. So important was this principle that when God laid out the Ten Commandments, he laid out a rule of time. And he said, now on the seventh day, what I want you to do is I want you to chill. I want you to reflect on who I am and what I have done. When Jesus Christ arose from the dead, Saturday, its purpose, became the purpose of Sunday, which was to reorient yourself to the divine one. One of the benefits of coming to church on Sunday is that you should be reoriented to God. That I am now going back out on Monday with God as my center, God as my purpose, because I was reminded on Sunday to rest in him. You know why you can do that? Because if you ever get time right with God, Psalm 127 says, he giveth to his beloved even while they are asleep. Do you know that? Do you know that if God ever becomes first in your time, then you don't have to stay up worrying because he's cutting deals while you're snoring. That's what scripture says. But he must be the center of your time. And yet, you don't have time to pick up your Bible. You don't have time to pray. You're too busy enjoying his goodness to enjoy him. That is an abuse of time. Second thing that everyone has here today, you've been given a steward of, is talent. Talent. Skills that God wants to use, that he has bestowed upon you for his purposes. Now I use the more general word talent. This more specific Christian word would be giftedness. God does not give to you just so you can have it, whatever it is. The talents I'm talking about, your giftedness, your abilities. He always gives. He doesn't mind you having the benefits of it as long as you are a vehicle to benefit others. Look at Romans chapter 12. You see, God has given you talents. This is not a sermon on gifts, but the concept is a serving attitude. Things he has given you by which to serve others. He says in verse 3, for through the grace of God given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think as one who has sound judgment, as God has allotted to every man the measure of faith, just as we have many members in one body and all members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individual members thereof. Don't lose sight of grace. Anything you have, God gave you and he could have given it to somebody else. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And therefore he was willing to serve, use what God had given him to serve somebody else. Why? So that others could grow with him. But some of us are too cute to serve. Some of our attitude is, now I'm coming to church. Choir, you sing to me. Band, you play for me. Preacher, you preach to me. Now don't ask anything of me. I'm not coming for that. That's what leeches do. They suck your blood and give you nothing in return. 1 Peter chapter 4, he uses this concept of stewardship to make this very point. He says in verse 8 of 1 Peter 4, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the grace of God to you. Here's my question. In light of what God has given you in talent that he's allowed you to develop, skills he's allowed you to acquire, who is benefiting from them other than you? Because grace negates selfishness. And we don't have enough Christians with a grace mindset. We have too many with a God, you owe me mentality. God owes you nothing. But God expects that if he was good to you, you're going to be good to somebody else. You know, turkeys are fat, you know, and they waddle. You know what turkeys do all day? Eat. That's all they want to do. They want to eat. I don't know what you're laughing at. Some of y'all are spiritual turkeys. You come in every Sunday to get. You waddle in and then waddle out. They come in every Sunday and they take in, but they don't deliver out. And so it just packs up inside of them. It just packs up. And instead of them growing greater, they get slower. Because they're just packing it in and packing it in. God can't use it. A challenge, God says, when they were building the tabernacle in the Old Testament, it says, God would stir their hearts and they would serve. They would say, how can I use what God has given me, as meager as it appears to be, because I recognize that I am what I am by the grace of God. He says, use your talents as stewards of God. And you must ask, Lord, with what you have endowed me with, I am thankful. And yes, I may use it to make money. Nothing wrong with that. I may use it to enhance maybe a better place to live. That's fine. But how am I serving you with it? How am I serving you with it? So God has given you time, and he's also given you talent. He's given you also, thirdly, treasures. The stewardship of treasures. Stuff. The stuff of life. Things. Turn to Luke 14 with me. God says with the stuff of life, he wants to be first. He wants you to bring all of the stuff unto him. Now this is where people will amen the time part. Nah, maybe they'll tolerate the talent part, but don't mess with my stuff. Stuff comes in a lot of ways. Verse 26 says, if anyone comes after me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That's your relationships. That's part of the stuff of life. If you're married, he gives you a maid. If you're family, he's giving you children. That's some of the stuff. You know you're a steward because you won't always be with them and they won't always be with you. And what God calls you to be is a steward of that. That is to bring it under his sovereignty. He says, when it comes to your relatives and me, I win, they lose. Look at what he says in verse 33. So therefore, no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all of his possessions. Now, I know you're ready to walk out of here now. That's what it says, though. And no amount of spiritualization can change it. Wait a minute now. Are you telling me that I'm not to have anything? Not to have a car, not to have a house, not to have clothes, not to have money? Nope, he's not saying that. He's saying you're not to possess them. See, the problem is not having them. The problem is possessing them. It was the quintessential test of possession. And that's why he said that a person had to give the tithe, because it was a statement that I'm trusting God, not my stuff.
Dr. Tony Evans, urging you to trust God's principles of stewardship so you can stay afloat. Today's message, The Spheres of Stewardship, is part of Tony's current series called Principles of Christian Stewardship. This 2-volume, 16-message collection includes several bonus messages and a lot of material we won't be able to present on the air this time around. So be sure to contact us for details about getting a copy on CD or DVD. And don't forget, for a limited time, we're making Volume 2 of Principles of Christian Stewardship available on CD as our gift when you support the Ministry of the Alternative with a contribution of any size. And if you call right away, we'll also send you the devotional book I mentioned earlier, 30 Days to Financial Victory. Remember, these are limited-time offers, so don't wait. Visit us today at tonyevans.org and make your request online. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. Our phone center is open 24/7 for resource requests. And again, the number 1-800-800-3222. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain how you can get richer with a bigger perspective than with a bigger paycheck. I hope you'll join us for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.